Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're so glad that you decided to spend some of your time. You're probably all in recovery from all the food between Thanksgiving and for those who celebrate Hanukkah. I don't know about you, but if I never saw another meal again, well, at least till tomorrow, all would be okay. If you're listening on 95.9 and you're driving up 95 or the Turnpike, turn the heater on. It's cold outside, and of course, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast, a little chilly up there as well. We are thrilled that you are with us tonight because we have a great show in store for you. Sky Bergman is an award-winning photographer, but even more importantly, she is the director of a PBS documentary, Lives Well Lived. She's here tonight, and I can't wait to speak with her. I watched the film on Friday, and I have to tell you, in all sincerity, it's a wonderful hour, little bit over an hour of your time, and you will be moved, you will laugh, you will cry. It's a great, great film. But first, again, Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a great gobble. We couldn't be more happy to have spent it with our family. I hope you had the opportunity to spend it with your family. I want to talk about vaccines. Vaccines have never been more important than they are today. You know, the panic about the Omicron variant has everybody a little bit on edge, but one way to protect yourself is not only get your vaccines, but get your booster. If you don't have those, please hurry up, get to CVS, get to Walgreens, go, get it done. Also, I'm going to tell you more about this later, but State Representative Dana Tribolsi is going to be here next week, and I'm excited to speak with her, and I know that you will be excited to hear what she has to tell you. Most of you know the state legislature in Florida only meets 60 days a year, so they're in committees now deciding what they're going to be dealing with in the 60 days starting in January. She has a lot to share, and you're going to want to be here to listen to what State Representative Dana Tribolsi has to say. But now to my guest, Sky Bergman. Sky is an accomplished, award-winning photographer. The film, Lives Well Lived, is her directorial debut. The film has been screened in more than 300 cities. It's won 8 awards, and the theatrical run garnered enthusiastic reviews, including 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's currently airing on PBS, is available on Amazon, iTunes, and PBS Passport. Sky's fine art photography is featured in the permanent collections throughout the world. Her commercial work has appeared on book covers for Random House and for Ross, Strauss, and Giroux, and in publications including the Smithsonian, Arthur Frommer's A Budget Travel, Reader's Digest, and Archaeology Odyssey. She is a professor at Cal Poly since 1995, and she's the former chair of the Art and Design Department from 2007 to 2013, and is currently a professor of photography and video. She has 2 short films about intergenerational connections currently on the film festival circuit and is working on a feature-length film that is a celebration of love. Welcome to the show, Sky. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you for that great introduction, Scott. I'm tired just thinking of all those things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do in your spare time or what you do to fill it. Yeah. But I mean, it's great. So, you know, I said I watched the film, so I know the answer to this question, but my audience does not. So, so people who have never heard about the film or never seen it, why don't you tell us what it's all about?
Sure. And again, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. So the film is Lives Well Lived. It's a celebration of 40 people that I interviewed that were 75 and older who were living full lives with a collective life experience of 3,000 years, starting with my grandmother, really. And I spent 4 years interviewing all those people and asking them lots of questions. And I started the project because I was looking at approaching 50, which I think is that half century mark is a big mark for a lot of people. And it certainly was for me. And my grandmother was 100 and still working out at the gym. And she was such a great role model for me. And I just was looking in the media for positive role models out there, not seeing them. I mean, everything that I was seeing was anti-aging creams and all the things that you could do to not age. And let's face it, the one thing we all have in common is that we age every day. And so I wanted to find something that was positive or create something that was positive. And that was really how I started the film. And I really made some amazing friends through it. I like to say my grandmother left me this wonderful legacy of 40 new grandparents because I have these wonderful people that now are really good friends that I interviewed. And, you know, it's around the holidays. We've all been with family, but I don't know how often we take the time to really sit down with our family and ask them those questions and really dig deep. And it was a gift to be able to do that.
You know, you just said something there, which is really true. And I honestly haven't given it much thought, but you're right. There are not a lot of positive images about aging. Most of the messaging to the senior population is about don't fall or you need to look better, or it's medications. So that really is an interesting, that's an interesting comment. I need to think about
that. You know, I had my grandmother as my role model, who she was still working out of the gym, like I said, at 100 years old, and she didn't start going to the gym until she was 80. So it's never too old to start something new. And I think I wanted to show more of those role models rather than, you know, all these things about all the medications and also a lot of the movies that we see that are out there that deal with older people. They're depressing. They're not, you know, there's not a happy ending to it. They're not really, I mean, there's so many stereotypes in them, and it's just, it wasn't what I wanted as my role models out there. I wanted to create something that I could look to and say, that's what I want to be like when I'm that age. And that was really how the mindset that I went into the film with.
You know, again, you're right. I've watched two films on Alzheimer's disease this year, and they all never have happy endings, even though they were really wonderful, wonderful films. Nothing ever ends well in that regard. So that's really interesting. So, but filmmaking is new to you. This is your directorial debut. So, what inspired you to take that leap, because that is a, you know, I don't think people appreciate how difficult it is to take that leap. So what inspired you to do that?
Well, again, my grandmother was my inspiration. I mean, as you mentioned in my bio, I've been an award-winning photographer for years, but really had never done any video. And my grandmother lived in South Florida, actually in Hollywood, Florida. And I live out here in California. And when she was 96, she came to visit me for the first time in California. And she spent the month of August with me, which all of you know, that's a good time to get out of South Florida. It's so hot and humid there. And here in California, it's actually a beautiful month. And she came for the next four summers and spent the month of August with me. And she was an amazing cook. And like all of those of you on this right now, this radio program are great cooks. None of you write recipes down. That's just inherent in being a good cook, I think.
That's true.
And I realized, and I grew up in my grandmother's kitchen. I grew up cooking with her, beside her. But I realized that the only way I was really going to capture her recipes was to actually video her as she was cooking, because she'd say a handful of this and a pinch of that. And I wanted to see it. I wanted to have that memory. And that was really my first foray into doing any video work at all, was working with my grandmother and capturing those cooking videos. We'd go to the farmer's market on Thursday night, and Friday would be our cooking day. We'd just cook all day, and it was amazing. And I always say, the more personal a project, the more universal it becomes. And so I think something that started with a very, very personal project became a very universal message for many people. And I just think if you follow your passion and you follow that personal message that you know you have to do it for whatever reason, it can surprise you in ways that are just mind-blowing, as this film has with me. I mean, it's amazing to me that it's on PBS and has done so well. And it all really started with me and my grandmother in the kitchen cooking together and me wanting to record that.
So it's quite the leap from, you know, not taking anything away from your video skills, but it's a leap from taking what some might call home videos about grandma to making a documentary. Did somebody talk you into making a documentary? Did they help you? Did they see in your first efforts something that was beyond what I would do if I took, you know, a video of my granddaughter lighting the candles last night, right? So, that's kind of a big leap, and I'm curious about, did you just wake up one morning and said, hey, I think this is a good film, or did you talk to your peers about it, or how did you jump that bridge?
Yeah, it is a pretty big leap, and I think that I have never let any obstacles stand in the way of something that I really wanted to do. So I should say, when I started this project, I didn't know I was going to make a film. I just had this idea when I went back with my grandmother when she was turning 100, and I filmed her at the gym, because I mean, she was my role model. When I would feel too lazy to get out of bed and go for a walk and do my yoga practice, I would think of my grandmother at the gym, and I would think, okay, get your lazy butt in gear and go do your exercises. And I thought, you know, I put together this little 1-minute clip of my grandmother at the gym. And again, like I said earlier, I was looking at approaching 50, and I was looking for a project to work on. I think I was at that moment where I was really looking for something to do, and I thought, I'm just going to send an email blast out to all my friends and my family and all my alumni that I've taught over the years. I've been here at Cal Poly at the university. And I sent a link to my grandmother at the gym. She was working out for, it was just like a little 1-minute clip. And I had asked her for some words of wisdom. And she said things like, be kind and live life to the limits. And I thought, this is a project. And right. I want to find other people out there like my grandmother. I mean, it was as simple as that. Yes, I did kind of wake up and think, this is what I need to do, because I need those positive role models. And even if it doesn't amount to anything, and I thought maybe it would be a web series or something, but I just knew I had to do it. And I think as an artist, sometimes we have those inklings, and, you know, if we follow them, some of them work and some of them don't. But I was willing to give this one a shot. And so that's kind of why I did this, not knowing how to do any of it and just learning as I went along.
Well, you learned well. So that's a fairly big leap, of course, as we've just articulated, but or identified. but where did you find 40 people willing to talk to you, be filmed by you, and talk about their experience in their lives? Because, I mean, that's hard.
It wasn't as hard as you would think. When I sent that email blast out, I was inundated with heartwarming nominations. And I will tell you that anytime that I do a screening and I do a Q&A at the end of the screening, I will ask the audience, how many of you are thinking of somebody that would have been perfect for the film, or you would have been perfect for the film? And 95% of the hands go up. And so I think once people knew what I was doing, and I think the helpful thing was that they had this video of my grandmother that they could look at and see and, you know, show people, it opened up a lot of doors. And in fact, I got to a point where I had to cut it off at 40 because I kept getting more nominations in, and I knew I would never get a film done if I kept interviewing people. And so on our website, there's actually a place where people can share their stories, because I wanted to be more inclusive rather than exclusive. And so if you go to our website, which is lives-well-live.com, or just Google Lives Well Lived, it'll come up, and go to shared stories, you can be part of the Lives Well Lived project, and you know, it's kind of a nice way to keep that momentum going.
So that wasn't one of the questions I had in mind, but does that mean there are future projects growing out of this? Is this the foundation for more to come?
Well, I mean, I would love to do an episodic series of Lives Well Lived, or maybe do one where I go to other countries. You know, I'm in talks with some people to think about doing something like that. But one of the things that we've been doing with the film is actually doing a number of intergenerational projects where we show the film to either high school students or college students and older adults. And then I spent about 6 months formulating the questions that I asked everyone in the film. I work with social scientists here at the university and psychologists and gerontologists. And said, if you were doing something like this, what would be the questions that you would ask? And so the students and the older adults use those questions as a starting point. Because I think the hardest thing is when you're interviewing somebody, where do you start? What questions do you ask? And
right.
So it gives people a framework to start. And then we do a big wrap party at the end of it. And we're doing this all over the country and working with Senior Planets, which is part of AARP, been doing it virtually for the last couple of years. And it's really successful because it's a great way to combat ageism, one story and one connection at a time. And so there's kind of a life beyond the film, which is really, it's just the film is just the starting point in many ways.
And that makes so much sense to me. So, staying on finding these 40 people, did you have to filter out people? Were you looking for particular types of people? Were you looking for energy? Were you looking for positivity? Were you looking for honesty? was there something in?
See, now you're asking this question as somebody who interviews people, so
right.
You know that not everybody is good in an interview. So
right.
One of the things that I did have to learn in transitioning from being a still photographer to a filmmaker is that as a still photographer, I could go in and take a photograph of somebody in an instant and then have a written story that went with it, and it's fine. But, you know, not everyone is a good storyteller. And so I did have to filter some people out based on whether or not they were good in front of the camera. And then also, when I realized that I wanted to do a feature film, I really wanted to show a diverse group of people. So I was looking for people that could tell different stories. Because when I started the film, it was all about collecting the words of wisdom of these wonderful people. But as I started moving through the process, I realized it was also about collecting their amazing stories. And so I wanted to make sure that I really had a diverse group of stories. And so that became a very important part of who I selected to be in the film. So, and then, of course, I also was looking for people that were upbeat and positive. I mean, that was really important as well.
No, and, you know, it was amazing to me in watching the movie. You know, the first person, I think it was the first person, was the doctor who had 9 kids.
Yeah.
And he was hysterical. I mean, I laughed out loud at the comment about the 9 kids and his wife. And then it was also touching because he lost his wife many years earlier and was still wearing his wedding ring, not giving anything away, but still wearing his. And then the next person was a Holocaust survivor. So it ran the gamut. And you were very successful at finding people, I think, from all walks of life. Were they from around the country? I mean, you didn't just do this in California. You couldn't have. I don't think you could have. Did you geographically move it around, or was it based mostly in California subjects?
It was based mostly in California because I'm here, but it was also, I had people in Santa Fe and in Florida because, you know, my grandmother's there and in Pennsylvania and... So I did move around a little bit, but I would say that one of the wonderful things about a project like this, and I hope lots of other people use kind of this, the questions that I asked in the film are all in the discussion guide, which is on our website. And so I hope people take this and replicate it, because you could do this anywhere. I would say that everyone has an amazing story to tell if we would just take the time to listen. And it's we don't tend to do that. And that was the interesting thing that I found, was even in the town that I live in, I was able to find a Holocaust survivor, somebody that survived the Japanese internment. I mean, you know, it was really Lucky Louie, who is, as you mentioned, the pediatrician who has 9 kids. I mean, it's just a wide variety of people. It's just a matter of really taking that time to listen to people's stories and wanting to do that and wanting to reach out to people. And that's the biggest challenge. It's
yeah.
Not necessarily about location.
Yeah, no, it was, again, and we're going to talk more about these people and more about the film. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're a regular, you know we're here every Monday night talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. If you're a new listener, we're here every Monday night. talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight, I'm talking to someone who has made her directorial debut with an incredibly interesting documentary called Lives Well Lived. It's a fascinating look at 40 seniors and their travels through life and their philosophy, a little bit about their stories. There are a lot of lessons learned, and we're going to talk all about those lessons. If you have some questions for Sky Bergman or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveris, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us tonight. I'm here with Sky Bergman. Sky is the director of a new documentary, PBS documentary called Lives Well Lived. We've been talking about the fact that she has found 40 incredibly interesting people between the ages of 75 and 103. She's created a film, and it is very moving. It's very emotional. It's very touching. It's also very educational. And Sky, if I may, I'd like to go there. I know what I got out of the film, but I'm curious, what were your lessons learned out of talking to these 40 incredible people?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I would say that the three common elements, because, you know, we're all looking at how do we live a life well lived and why are these people happy and how do they get there? And I think that the three things that I found was that one, and this seemed to be more important than I realized, is that everyone in the film had a sense of purpose, whether it was getting up in the morning to make mozzarellas for his daughter's deli, as Lucky Louie did, or teaching ESL, which is English as a Second Language, as Rosa Bonaventura did, or whatever it was, they all had a sense of purpose. And that's really important, because I think a lot of times when people retire, and I'm retiring at the end of this week, by the way.
Congratulations.
Phase as well. Thank you. And, you know, we have to, we kind of lose our identity a bit and lose that sense of purpose. And so I think that was a really important lesson for me to learn, and very timely, as I said, since I'm getting ready to retire from teaching. And then the second thing was that they all had a good support system, and it didn't necessarily have to be family. It could be friends as well, but they weren't loners. They had a good, whether it was that they called everybody or whatever it was, they had that sense of feeling like they were part of the community. And then I think thirdly, and this is a bit of a cliche, but there's a reason for it, is that they were all people that saw life as the glass is half full rather than half empty. I mean, all the people in the film had something that they lived through that was very traumatic. But it's kind of their way that they got through it, and their resilience, I think, is what is really that positive attitude is what kept them going. And I think that one of the people in the film, Evie Justison, talks about reading Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, his book. And he was a Holocaust survivor as well. And what she got out of the book was that there are so many times in our life when we can't control the things that are happening around us, but what we can control is the attitude that we have about how we're going through that moment. And I think that has been especially poignant for me going through this pandemic. I mean, we're all going through this together, but how do we deal with it, and what's our reaction to it and our attitude about it? And I will catch myself giving myself like an attitude adjustment, because I, you know, have all these wonderful voices in my head that I've learned from. And I feel so lucky because of that. So I think that was probably the most important thing that I learned, was that your attitude is really the only thing that you have control over.
And as a positive mental attitude person, I actually believe that, right? So you're singing to the choir here with me personally, but I don't see that as common amongst the seniors that I interface with all the time. You know, a lot of people are more depressed than they are forward-looking. It was interesting to me in watching the film that everybody didn't see their life as yesterday. They saw their lives as much about tomorrow as it was about yesterday. And I found that kind of fascinating myself. I guess the question for you I have, I'm sure that you had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of tape, you know, to filter down. You managed to balance humor, the tragic side of things, the positive side, the, you know, I don't know, I'm grasping for the word here. You managed to cover multiple emotions. Was that deliberate, or did that kind of just happen as you began to edit?
Oh no, Scott, thank you for asking me that, because that was definitely very deliberate. When I did a sneak preview of the film, and I showed it, 27 of the 40 people that were in the film were at the preview, which was wonderful. But I wanted to do that because I wanted to feel what it was like to watch the film with an audience. Being a first time filmmaker, I didn't know how that was going to feel. And I asked people to fill out feedback forms, and we had about 200 people that filled out feedback forms. We had an 850 person theater sold out. And I really took that feedback and took about 8 months to really, almost to a year, to re-edit the whole film and really look at it through a different lens. And part of what that was looking at each person that I featured, because although there's 40 people in the film, not everyone is featured, but each person that is featured, there were three things that I wanted to have in there, which was a poignant moment in their life, a word of wisdom, because that's what I started with in terms of doing the film, and then humor, because I think that many times the thing that helps get us through the tough times is humor. And I think having that levity, life is all about balance. And I felt like you needed that balance in the film as well, like having that bit of levity and then having a really difficult moment. It's a balance. And I think that's why it works, because you laugh, you cry, and you learn something. And that's a nice combination to have.
Well, you were very successful at doing that, I have to say. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Sky Bergman. Sky is an award-winning photographer, but more importantly, the reason she's here tonight is that she made her directorial debut in a PBS documentary called Lives Well Lived that I can't recommend enough for you all to find and listen. I'm going to ask Sky to tell you all how you can find the film before the show is over, so don't go anywhere. If you have questions for Sky or for myself about this film or about the lessons learned in this film, you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If it's Monday night, it must be, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. We're here tonight with Sky Bergman. And there are few places in the world that rival the beauty of where we sit here in Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast. But I have to tell you, she lives in a place that's equally, if not more, beautiful. San Luis Obispo is one of my very favorite locations in the world. And so I'm a little jealous, even though I think I too live in paradise. But anyway, Sky is the director of a PBS documentary, Lives Well Lived, a very well-received documentary, where she interviewed 40 people between the ages of 75 and 103. And there are many, many lessons, and we've been talking about that prior to this. You know, Sky, the question, I have still have a bunch of questions, but one of the questions is, was your vision of Lives Well Lived changed by the making of this film? Did you come away with a different assessment of what Lives Well Lived is like?
Well, I think for me, one of the things that I came away with was really to live more fully in the moment. And to be, you know, more present, I think. I think that when you're younger, you're moving around so quickly. You're just trying to, you know, have your family, do your job, whatever it is. I feel like there were times when I personally did not take the time to appreciate and enjoy each moment as much as I do now after having watched the film. So for me, that's definitely a really big takeaway that I don't know that I had that before. I think this just kind of slowed me down a little bit, and there was a beauty in that.
There really is. I maybe we didn't talk about this, and if you don't want to answer, I get it. But is that why you're retiring now?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that I had decided that I wanted to retire when I was 55. I stayed one more year because of the pandemic, and I wanted to get some of my students through this difficult time. And but I think that in part maybe that decision came because of the film and realizing that, you know, I really wanted to be intentional with the time that I had and to really enjoy every moment and do things that brought me great joy. And I love teaching, and I will always be a teacher, but working in the institution was not bringing me great joy anymore. And lucky enough to have a pension so that I can say, okay, I can do something else and do this filmmaking full time and promote the film and do these intergenerational projects, which now that has really become my passion. And I guess it's because I was so close to my grandmother and I saw the value of having that wisdom of somebody who is an older adult in my life. And I want that for other people. I mean, one of the things that I read in doing the research for the film, and this blew me away, was that the last 100 years is the first time in human history that we've looked to anyone other than our elders for advice. And I really feel the world is suffering as a result. So I feel like sometimes you have to close one door to open another. And for me, closing the door on teaching is opening the space for me to create more of these intergenerational projects, which are my new passion.
And I want to talk about those, and we will before the show is over. You know, the lesson, I find this conversation so fascinating, because I retired the first time at 58, by the way, and then in a moment of drunken stupor went into the home care business. But I got back and went back to work because retirement was not for me. I needed to stay active. One of the big lessons for me is all of the things that you pointed to earlier when we were talking about this. But for me, what I got the common thread from watching the people featured in the film was that they all had the same basic goal of leaving the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think you kind of just touched on that again. I think we don't look to our seniors, to our elders, for all that they've accomplished. We don't really give them credit, and we are not listening to those lessons. So, am I right about that?
I think that that's true, and I think that it's really amazing when we do these intergenerational projects and the students, the common thread in the student statements to me is, wow, I didn't realize we had so much in common. And really, there's so much more in common than our differences. The only difference really is our age. And if we just kind of open it up, it's amazing the experience that we can gain and the wisdom that we can gain just from being open to listening to what these older adults had to tell them. And it was really, you know, they had lived through what they were going through at that moment, and they could give them some words of advice. And it was just lovely to see that those connections happen. And so I think that that's so important, so vitally important to make that happen.
So in the screenings, the early screenings, when the participants in the movie were there with their families, did that forge a new connection between them and their families? I ask that because I have... I won't bore you with the long story, maybe another time, but we were in Israel 30 years ago, and I saw one of the most moving moments that I've ever seen. It still kind of chokes me up when I talk about it, about a grandparent who was a Holocaust survivor with his two young grandchildren, and there was this connection that was just unbelievable, powerful. Did this help the subjects in the film connect at a different level with their own families?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that was interesting was there were times where I would ask a question and they maybe had never shared that answer with their families. And, and part of it might have been just because nobody asked. But also, I think part of it was, and this came from them understanding that I was purely doing this film out of a love of my grandmother. And there was no ulterior motive. And I think that people were really opened up because of that. And it was really much more about having a conversation. I mean, I went back many times to interview the people that were featured in the film, like Lucky Louie. I mean, he was a dear, dear friend of mine. And I think I interviewed him probably 10 different times for the film. And I think that was the last time you even mentioned this about, so I'm not giving anything away, that he had 9 kids and he had a very close relationship with his wife. And she died 20 some odd years ago, and he still was wearing his wedding ring. And I finally, because I had built this trust and this friendship, I said to him, Lou, you don't have to answer this question, but you're still so in love with your wife. How do you get over something like that? How do you grieve? How do you, you know, I could never have asked that of him on his in our first meeting. No way. But I also think that I, on the flip side, one of the people that I interviewed for the film was my dad, who is a geriatric physician and has had several strokes. He practices from a wheelchair. And one of the questions that I ask in the film is, what do you think of your own mortality? And to be very brutally honest, I don't think as a daughter I would have felt comfortable asking him that question. We don't talk about death much in this country. But in the context of interviewing him, we had this, you know, because I was an interviewer, instead of like I put that hat on instead of the daughter hat, we had this amazing conversation that we would never have otherwise had. And so I think that, you know, even in my own, for my own sake, I think it was really interesting to see how that worked when I became an interviewer instead of a daughter, that he was able to open up in a different kind of way. And, and I think that that kind of answers a little bit of your question, that people, for whatever reason, opened up to me in different ways.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Talking about a wonderful PBS documentary called Lives Well Lived with the director. And I would guess I could call you producer of the film, Sky Bergman. It's a wonderful film. She interviewed 40 seniors between the age of 75 and 103 and put together an unbelievable documentary. We're going to tell you how you can listen to that. And I have a whole bunch more questions. But if you have questions, call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused company that works like a family for all of your mom and dad's home-related needs as they age, from keeping them safely in their current home to managing a downsizing or relocation to assisted living to emptying a home and distributing the family's treasures after the loss of a loved one. Silver Solutions is there to help families move forward with ease and confidence. If you're worried about your aging parents' safety at home, or you're an older adult concerned about losing your independence, give us a call today at 1-877-8 Age Safe. That's 1-877-AGESAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com for a free consultation. We're bonded, insured, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines on all jobs, including the use of full PPE. You can't stop the aging process, but with Silver Solutions, you can make growing older safer and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, here tonight with Sky Bergman. Sky is the director of a wonderful PBS documentary called Lives Well Lived. I saw the film on Friday. It's really very emotional. It's moving. It's funny. It brings a little tear to your eye now and then. It's well worth the time for you to watch it. So on that note, Sky, if people want to watch it, how can they find Lives Well Lived?
Yeah, thank you for that plug. If you go to our website, which is live-well-lived.com, or just Google Lives Well Lived, it will come up. It's on the PBS website. If you type in Lives Well Lived, it'll show up. If you're a PBS Passport member, you can watch it at any time. And otherwise, it's also on Amazon and iTunes. So and they're selling the DVD on Shop PBS. So it's available everywhere, which is just, it tickles me to no end that it's so widely available now. I love it.
and thank you. And that's great. And we'll do that again before the show ends. You also talked about your website, that people can still kind of submit applications or more stories. You're interested in that as well?
Yeah, so what I have on our website is a place where people can share their stories, because I realized that I couldn't interview everyone and make a film. I had to cut it off at a certain number. So in a way to be inclusive and also encourage people to collect the stories of our elders, there's a place on the website where the questions that I asked are there. It's under the shared stories part of our website. And you can be part of the Lives Well Lived project, and your image and your story will go up on the website. But more importantly, I just want to encourage people really to sit down and talk. And, you know, having those questions that I used in the film are a good starting point to begin that conversation and that dialogue.
So that brings us to the intergenerational component part of both the film, the lessons learned, and what you're doing going forward. So why don't you talk a little bit about all of that?
Yeah, so one of the things that, you know, I think is really important is connecting the generations. And I realized that I could use the film as a catalyst to do that. So we've been working with high schools and universities across the country to do an intergenerational project. And I created with a professor here at the university who teaches the psychology of aging class, we have like a learning module that can just be plugged into a high school or college curriculum as a service learning component, where the students and the older adults watch the film together. We do a big Q&A, and then the students and the older adults use the questions from the film to get to know each other. And then they have a big wrap party at the end of the quarter or semester and talk about what they learned. And it's really phenomenal. And I'll just kind of an aside, one of the reasons that this kind of came to be was I had this amazing relationship with my grandmother. I mean, I just assumed that everybody had that because, you know, when you grow up, that's what you think everybody else's life is like. And, right. And in fact, of course, it's not. But when I did the interviews with the people in the film as a teacher, I always tried to take a student with me. I really tried to keep it very low key, maybe me and one student or just me many times. But the interview, the very first interview that I did with Lucky Louie, who is a luchador and is an Italian guy. He was a pediatrician. He makes mozzarellas every day for his daughter's deli and just a wonderful, talkative, just engaging person. And I took this student of mine, James, and did we get an earful. I mean, it was an amazing interview. And James and I went out to lunch after the interview, and he said to me over lunch, wow, I never knew that older people could talk so much. And it struck me as kind of funny because, I mean, I'm Italian. So, of course, every older person, we sit at the table, talk for hours, you know. And I said to him, well, James, don't you have an older person in your life? And he said, well, I have a grandfather, but we don't really communicate that much. And I said, it was right around Thanksgiving. And I said, look, I want you to take these questions that we just asked Lucky Louie, and I want you to sit down with your grandfather over Thanksgiving. This is your homework assignment, and I want you to ask him all these questions. And he came back from that trip just grinning from ear to ear because his grandfather was so excited that he cared enough to actually want to have a conversation. I think they both wanted to have this conversation, but they didn't know where to start the conversation. And having those questions was the starting point. And then the dam broke and they have this great relationship, and it's just so wonderful. And it was, you know, it made me realize that the film really could be this catalyst to connect, not even just, you know, on a global level, but even just within families. Sometimes you forget how to connect with the older adults in our lives, and or the older adults don't know how to connect with the younger members of their family. And so having these common questions that you can ask and sharing these stories is such a wonderful way to keep those connections alive so that we can learn from each other. I think that's vitally important.
So I can more than validate that. I will tell you that, you know, I know you and I spoke in preparation for tonight. You know that my children I call cashews, half Catholic, half Jew. We talked about that. So there are no bar mitzvahs in our family. So what I've agreed to do, my wife and I have agreed to do, is we take our grandchildren when they turn 13 instead of the bar mitzvah, which they're not going to have. I have agreed to take them anywhere in the world they want to go. So I took the oldest, who's now 16, but I took him 3 years ago to London. And then this just past year, I have twins that are 13. One wants to go overseas, so they can't, or couldn't last year, but one wanted to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And each of those trips was a week, just my wife and I and one grandchild. And it has completely altered our relationship with those grandchildren. I can validate what you said with absolute certainty, because it has absolutely changed the communication dynamic with the two that we've taken so far. We're going to take the third one in March to Italy. And you're right. It just is on a different level. We talk about so many things because we're together for so long, just the three of us. It's really quite remarkable. So you've really done a wonderful job. It's really fascinating. If you just tune in, of course, and you're just picking up on this, I'm talking with Sky Bergman, who's the director of a film called Lives Well Lived. It's a PBS documentary. I'm going to tell you how you can find it again in just a minute. If you're sorry that you missed this show, you're just tuning in now because you're going to listen to the sports show that comes up in a few minutes, and you missed this and you're sorry you did, I have great news for you. You don't have to miss it forever, because we podcast. It'll be up and running tomorrow on any of the podcast platforms. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm Getting Up, We Will Pop. You can listen to this or any of the other shows that we've done over the last 10 years. I encourage you to do that. If podcasting's not your thing, and to many, we don't do that, myself included, palmbeach.comfortcare.com, palmbeach.comfortcare. You all know, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't slip that T in there. If you do, you won't find us, and you'll miss this great show and many others. palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Of course, there is never a reason for you to miss the show, because you can download the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen on your phone or wherever you are with that app. Just search True Oldies, West Palm Beach, or True Oldies Palm Beach, every Monday at 6 o'clock, because we're here every Monday at 6 o'clock. And, of course, at the same time, we simulcast True Oldies, FLA.com. That's True Oldies, FLA.com. 6 o'clock Monday nights. We have great guests. Speaking of great guests, next week, State Representative Dana Trabulsi will be here. I've spoken with her a number of times in preparation for the show. She has a lot to share. The state legislature has a lot on its plate. There are questions that you have that we will answer. We will answer some that maybe you hadn't thought of, but she's been very gracious by giving me the full hour, and she'll be here next week. Dana Trabulsi, your state representative on the Treasure Coast. In 2 weeks, Richard Ross is here. He's an expert on senior issues. I'm going to tell you more about him next week. Also a great show. I've spoken with him. He has a lot to share as well. In the few minutes I have left with my guest, however, Sky Bergman. Sky, so what's the definition, after you have put all of this together, how do you define a life well lived? What do you think that would be?
That's good. Turning the tables on me. Well, I will say that I would probably steal from my grandmother, who her definition of life well lived was to always be kind. And I think that for me, that's my definition of a life well lived, is to just always be kind. I think when you have a choice to be kind or right, it's always better to be kind. And if we had a little more kindness in this world, what a better place it would be. So that is my definition of a life well lived.
So that is, certainly I think, a wonderful lesson. There's no question about it. I guess I'm curious because I said to you even before we went on the air that there are films, that are often done about seniors and interviewing seniors, and most tend not to be all as positive as yours is. Do you think that your experience as an educator contributed to the success of this project for you? Because I have to think that had to go a long way to helping you get through this.
Well, I think that I don't know if it contributed to the success, but I definitely had this attitude, very positive attitude, that I would get the film done, and that I like to live my life saying, instead of saying why do something, I say why not, and just follow my passion. And I think I did that. I was an undergrad. I was a finance major, and I followed my passion and thought, I don't want to do that. I want to go into photography. And even though that was clearly a path that may not have led to a lot of money or anything, it was where my passion lied. And I have kind of done that my whole life. And being a teacher, you certainly have to be organized, which you have to be organized when you make a film. So I think maybe that helped. But I think just having that drive and that passion was really what helped me get the film done.
Terrific. So in the few seconds or so that we have left, tell everybody again how they can find the film and how they can find your website and all of the information about the exciting things that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So the easiest way is just to go to Google and do a search for Lives Well Lived, and our film will come up. Our film website is lives-well-live.com, and it's available on PBS Passport, Amazon, iTunes, and Shop PBS as a DVD. And I'm very happy to say that we are subtitled in 6 languages, closed caption, and audio described for anyone that has visual impairment. So we really wanted to make it accessible to everyone.
Did you ever dream it could be this successful and this well? I have to think this has got to be, not that it's not worth it, but you got to be thinking, how did this happen?
My mom and I were having a conversation about this a couple of weeks ago, and she said, oh my God, can you believe it? Your film is on PBS and grandma would be so proud. And I said, Mom, I couldn't believe when I got into the first film festival. I mean, every step along the way, I think, I just have said I'm so grateful, and I really am. And it's just, to be on PBS as a first-time filmmaker is awesome. There's no other word. Like a California word, awesome. It's awesome.
It's well deserved. I can tell everybody. I watched the film. You really should find Lives Well Lived. You should take the time, locate it, do what you can. It's a great film. It'll brighten your day. It'll make you think. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It will do all of those. Sky, you're a great guest. I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me tonight. I know it's hard to do this, and I truly, truly appreciate you've been very generous in both preparation and in the time you spend here tonight. So I want to thank you for being here, and I want to wish you continued good success on this film and on your future projects. It's really very exciting.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. It's an honor to have been your guest. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Every Monday night, 6 to 7, right here on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. My guest tonight, Sky Bergman, did an incredible job. Next week, Dana Tribolsi, the state representative from the St. Lucie area. Thank you all. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving all. Happy Hanukkah to those who are celebrating. We'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, all.